You think you'll ever get out of here?
Me? Yeah. One day, when I got a long white beard and two or three marbles rolling around upstairs, they let me out.
I'll tell you where I'd go. Zihuatanejo.
Zihuatanejo.
It's in Mexico.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. That was a scene from the 1994 film The Shawshank Redemption, which starred Tim Robbins and Morgan Freeman and was filmed partly in Mansfield, Ohio. In that case, the old Mansfield prison was the draw for filmmakers, but film offices in a number of states, including Pennsylvania and Maryland, and some municipalities are working to sweeten the pot for filmmakers with production crews, talent, locations, and tax incentives. John Doherty is director of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. John Doherty, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Ann. I appreciate it. It's good to be back.
There's no statewide commission. There was at one point in Ohio. There is not now. Why not? And does it matter?
Yeah, you're correct. I think it matters. I really don't know why it went away. Several of my colleagues and friends served as the state film commissioner. But I don't know if it was budget cuts. So, you know, I think it went away maybe 4 or 5 years ago, something like that, or a little more. I think there needs to be, especially, right now the motion picture tax credit sits at $40 million a year for the state. If it goes up, it's probably a good idea. It just helps keep an eye on what's going on.
So there's $40 million per year tax credit for the state per year. Who manages that?
So that is managed by, used to be Development Services Agency, which is now Department of Development at the state level. They are the ones who administer and manage the tax credit.
So they decide, you would, like, hypothetically, someone from the Central Ohio wants to get a tax credit to attract an operation here, a film here or something. They have to go through the state that way.
Yeah, there's an application process. There are two application periods. One ends December 1, the other ends June 1. And there's the $40 million is split up into two application periods, $20 million per period. We're working on making that two application periods go away. It just doesn't work well. So that's kind of how it works.
For planning purposes.
And you would apply, a production company would apply through the Ohio Film Office website, which is in Department of Development.
So all things being equal, how welcoming is the state of Ohio to the film industry?
We're very welcoming. Cleveland and Cincinnati have been doing this a lot longer than we have here in Columbus, and they've been great in attracting films. Earlier or end of 2020, we did some scouting for a film called Wheat Germ, which ended up coming here to the state. It was with Adam Driver, Greta Gerwig, directed by Noah Baumbach. It was a very large Netflix production. So they were here most of this past summer in 2021. They ended up leaving and going down to Georgia because they were out of their tax credit money here. So we're very welcoming. And, the crews continue to grow here. What we want to see is build out of physical infrastructure, sound stages and that sort of thing. I think that's our next step.
So doing that kind of infrastructure build out, you have to have a certain tipping point, right, of production.
And I think we're getting close to that. We continue every year, every budget cycle, we try to get the tax credit increased. It was $20 million in 2017. We were successful in doubling it to $40 million in that budget cycle. So we continue to try and get it increased. There's about every application period, which, remember, there's two a year, there's about 20 films that apply or 20 projects that apply, and the demand far outweighs the supply. It averages right around $80 million in tax credit applications for $20 million. So if there were more money in the tax incentive program, we would get a lot more films here. And we're also working on, separate from the motion picture tax credit, incentives for infrastructure build out, like I'd mentioned before.
I mentioned that there are other states, including Pennsylvania and Maryland, that do have their a film office, not just a tax credit, but a film office that do they also have more than $40 million a year to throw around on this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pennsylvania, I believe, is up to $120 million, I think. Georgia, you'd mentioned Georgia earlier. You know, that's an uncapped tax credit. So if you spend at least $500,000 and can find crew, you're guaranteed your tax credit down in Georgia. That's one of the issues they're having now is there's so much going on down there. It's hard to find crews. So projects are going to other states. Illinois, I think, is 100 million. California is back up to 300 and something million. New York is way up there as well. So most states have a pretty healthy, the states that are successful in this business have a pretty healthy tax credit. Films are going to chase tax credits, the nature of the business. That's all, you know, it's something we have to realize. They're going to spend their money somewhere. So if they don't come to Ohio, they're going to go somewhere else. So that's what we always keep saying. And it's a good industry. It creates great jobs.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the film industry a la Ohio. My guest is John Doherty. He's film commissioner for Columbus and Central Ohio. He's director, as I said earlier, of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. If you have a question or comment about the film business in Ohio this hour, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So is anyone computed in any way the return on the investment? What do we get back for that $40 million as it is?
Yeah, sure. So there's, as I'm sure you can imagine, been multiple studies on the economic impact. One of the latest, most conclusive and big studies was done, I believe, in November of, it came out in November of 2020, right at the end of the pandemic, and it was looking, you know, around 2019. Obviously, 2020 was a wash. Everything's shut down. But for every dollar that's invested, I believe that latest figure was like $2.30 or more than that we would get back. So, you know, you have to look at all the ancillary industries that the film industry affects: hotels, construction, transportation, you know, all those restaurants, which are really, you know, badly hurting right now. This industry really bolsters a lot of that spending. So it's a great program. It's definitely creates lots and lots of jobs and good paying jobs too. So that's something that we're really working on growing.
What are Cleveland and Cincinnati doing right?
For one, they've been around a lot longer, so they have a deeper crew base, which is you know, key to success. So here in Columbus, you know, I think we grow our crew base through smaller independent films. You know, Cleveland and Cincinnati. Cincinnati goes after, you know, about the $10 million films. If you remember the film Carol with Cate Blanchett a few years ago was filmed there. You know, Cleveland has gone after some of the larger films, the Marvels and things like that. And like I mentioned before, the film Wheat Germ with Adam Driver, we helped scout for that. That was in the state. So that was a big film. But those Cleveland and Cincinnati have a much deeper crew base, so they can handle the larger films. And so we're just slowly trying to grow that crew base through many programs, through script writing contests and introducing kids a little earlier to the industry. You know, we're looking at long term here, not mm-hmm. 2 or 3 years. I'm looking at, you know, 10 years down the road and really growing the industry.
Right. And so, you know, you mentioned starting them young. What entities in Central Ohio have a foothold in this?
Yeah. So, well, I mentioned that one of the programs that we do is a script writing contest, and we partner with Columbus College of Art and Design, and we hold free workshops for kids. We really reach out into underserved neighborhoods. Kids 13 to 18, we hold two free workshops. At the end of the workshop, we invite them to submit a 3 to 5 page script. Industry professionals judge those scripts, and then the top two scripts are actually made by CCAD students in their collaborative film program in the fall. So it's a great program. It helps out CCAD. They've been a great partner. You know, it reaches in the underserved neighborhoods to give some of those kids a chance that wouldn't really get a chance to dip their toe into the film industry. And, you know, schools like Ohio State, Kenyon, Ohio University, Denison, all these schools, CCAD, like I mentioned, have film programs. And, you know, we're starting to talk about gaming as well as part of this bigger picture. You know, the line between gaming and film is getting more and more blurred all the time.
How do you get the critical mass, though, of crews? Because when there's not a film being shot, they need to feed themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's the catch 22, which we've been dealing with for many, many years. You know, the films aren't here because the crew's not here. The crew's not here because the film's not here. One of the good things about us in Columbus is we have a very vibrant commercial market, you know, with the retail and the insurance that we have based here. The commercial market is great, and it has been for many years, so it's very strong. So we have capable crew. A lot of the crew, though, that works on the commercial gigs, they don't want to leave their really steady job to go work for a film for 30 or 45 days. So how do we get that, like you said, the critical mass to get that just churning of films? And I think, like I mentioned before, that it's attracting smaller films, I mean, $3 to $5 to maybe $8 million films here that helps grow that industry from the ground up.
When you apply for one of those tax credits, and I guess it's like a tax credit of 30% on production cost and crew wages,
Correct.
Does the crew have to come from Ohio to get that?
No, they don't. So there is, it's in-state or out-of-state crew also qualify as an expenditure.
Okay. And then I read somewhere prepping for this, and I apologize that I can't remember, so I'm kind of talking out of my ear, but that one of the things that makes Ohio more affordable for these production companies is that there aren't union wages here to contend with.
Yeah. So once you get into the larger films, once you get close to $1 million, then there are union wages, and the union's great. It protects people for sure. Some of the smaller films are non-union films. But most of the films here are, you know, one of the things that's so attractive about Ohio is, you know, it's pretty obvious, the cost of living. So the cost of doing business here is much lower than California, New York, Georgia, even. So, your money goes a lot longer. Than in other states a lot of times.
And when you talk about Central Ohio, are you talking primarily about Columbus, or what's attractive venue-wise about Central Ohio?
Yeah, that's a great question. You played a clip from Shawshank Redemption earlier, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Of course.
I sent Escape Plan 3 up to Mansfield Prison a couple years ago. So the prison is definitely, it's still attractive. I just got a call last week about a film that takes place in Mansfield in the 60s, and they want to film up there. So, you know, we have really diverse landscapes. Cleveland and Cincinnati have beautiful skylines. You know, our skyline is pretty good. But, you know, here in Columbus, you go 30 minutes in one direction, you've got all kinds of different looks, and, you know, Hocking Hills, which is beautiful, and places like Darby Dan Farms, which I've worked with before. It's just beautiful out there. So it's really diverse. And if you can base yourself here in Columbus, again, you know, you just go a little bit outside of the city and you've got different looks in every direction.
The point being that you can shoot here, but it doesn't have to be placed here, set here.
Yeah. Probably 80% of all films can be shot pretty much anywhere. You know, obviously, if you're doing a film about Washington, D.C., you have to go down there and get establishing shots or just use stock footage, which happens a lot. But it can be shot pretty much anywhere.
My guest is John Doherty. He's film commissioner for Columbus and Central Ohio. He's director of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. So we are talking about the prospects for film and film production in Ohio going forward. If you have a question or comment, you can give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Who's your dad?
Sanford Babbitt.
Who? Sanford Babbitt?
10961 Beechcrest Street, Cincinnati, Ohio.
That's my address. I mean, what is it with this guy? Hey!
That was actors Tom Cruise and Dustin Hoffman in the 1988 film Rain Man, which, according to USA Today, put Cincinnati on the map as a desirable film location. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the film industry in Ohio. Little Man Tate, Air Force One, and The Shawshank Redemption. Those are just a few of the movies filmed, at least in part, in the Buckeye State. Add to that the list They, Them, Us, which was filmed here in Columbus. Here's a trailer.
I'm not interested in monogamy or a relationship.
The last thing I want is a serious commitment.
This is way too fast and totally crazy.
You asking me to move in?
This is going to be our new home.
I don't want to live here.
You don't want them either.
The film was shot entirely in Columbus and directed by Kenyon College film professor John Sherman. Welcome to the show, John Sherman.
Thank you, Anne. It's great to be here.
And also still with us, John Doherty. He is the film commissioner for Columbus and Central Ohio. So tell us about They, Them, Us, and why set it in Columbus, let alone shoot it here?
So I moved to Columbus from New York City about 10 years ago to teach at Kenyon. And I wanted to do, I was an independent filmmaker in New York, wanted to do another feature for a long time and just spent a lot of time driving around Columbus and saying, why has this city not really appeared in films before? I have a background in locations, so I knew how I could get places to shoot very cheaply, but there are so many places here like German Village, we shot in Victorian Village, places that just haven't been seen on screen before that just offer so much production value. So when I wrote the script when I was on sabbatical, I made Columbus kind of a character in the movie in the sense that it really is a story about people in the Midwest. It could be anywhere, but it happens to be set in Columbus where I live. And I've also worked closely with John. I'm the board president of Film Columbus. So it's very important to me to help build the film industry here as well. So there are creative reasons and business reasons and all kinds of other reasons, but it was a great place to shoot. I mean, people were so friendly to us. People wanted us to come, even though we were shooting in the middle of COVID. We were one of the first films to be greenlit under the Screen Actors Guild protocols in August of 2020. So we were really experimenting, shooting in COVID. It was very nerve-wracking. So that's a whole other story we can get into if you want.
No, I am very interested in that. How much did, so you're in Ohio, it's kind of a little insular sounding, but all things being equal, you still had to benefit from the tax credits. I mean, was that a draw, or do you have any observations about where Ohio falls short and how it attracts from out of state?
The tax credit was absolutely a draw. And the good news about the tax credit is that you just have to get to about $300,000 to qualify. Our film had, at the time, a $550,000 budget. So we qualified. And I was very aware because I do, a lot of work with John. I knew exactly when to apply, how to apply. It's not that onerous a process. So I think if more people knew how easy it was, they would apply. A lot of the issue is that a lot of films will apply in many states and then just, not come here. So there's a queue, and then it's sort of like whoever's next gets the tax credit if another film doesn't come.
John Doherty said earlier that leaving it to just two times a year to open up for the applications for the tax credits maybe isn't so great. It should just be kind of a rolling process.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it limits producers. You want, in order to attract producers to come here, you have to make it as easy for them as possible to film here. So you want to be able to say, oh, look, there's, a film just canceled. There's $10 million available. Come here. And if you're not within the window of application, then they can't. So it's important to make the state as filmmaker friendly as possible. We are, once you get here, you see that it's a great place to make a movie. It's just, getting people here is kind of the issue. And I think that also speaks back to what you guys were talking about with the lack of a state film commissioner in general, so that, you know, Columbus, Cleveland, and Cincinnati are not necessarily all on the same page always in terms of getting films to come here.
Right. I mean, so if I'm a filmmaker, I'm a producer, I'm trying to set up locations or whatnot, who do they call? Do they know?
They should call us in Columbus, of course, right, John?
Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, I get calls all the time. They're trying to reach the state film office, and unfortunately, they're not always that receptive. So they'll call me usually right away. And I have no problem working with Cleveland and Cincinnati. Especially as of late, we've really been talking to each other a lot more, which is great. You know, rising tide. You know, if the state succeeds, we're all going to succeed. That's the way we have to look at it.
Yeah, and now we've got two films, feature films that are being released that were shot in Columbus, our film and the film Poser that Loose Films made. So I think once people see Columbus on screen, then it'll be sort of a self-perpetuating thing where more movies will come here and say, oh, wow, it looks cool. You know, tell us about filming here. So you just have to have a few movies to be able to show for it. And then once that starts, I mean, that's how Cincinnati started. When Carol went there because it was set in the early 60s in New York City, and they could mimic the Cincinnati skyline for New York City in the 60s. And then that just kept, more movies kept coming there. So, you know, it's just a question of getting a few good ones to come and building from there.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the prospects for film industry in the state of Ohio. That is Jonathan Sherman. He's co-writer and director of the feature film They, Them, Us. He is also associate professor of film at Kenyon College and president of the Board of Film Columbus. Also with us, John Doherty. He is film commissioner for Columbus and Central Ohio. He's director of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jonathan Sherman, it seems like, I mean, we always hear about the blockbuster films, but it also feels like, you know, as a layperson from outside of the business, like this is a new heyday for smaller films. I mean, some of my favorite films ever, you know, are very, very small films now. Now, not that I'm the ultimate barometer, but is that good for places like Ohio?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's so many different ways to talk about small films. You know, there's our film, which is a, you know, $500,000 or $600,000 movie. There's like a $3 million movie. It just, maybe there's some actors in there that are a little more well known. But I think streaming has really leveled the playing field. I think that it's kind of amazing how many people will end up seeing our movie in the end. You know, we're going to play at the Drexel and the Gateway this week, but we know, especially with COVID, that the majority of our audience is going to come on streaming. And I think people don't, they're willing to watch, you know, as long as something looks good. I think it gives, it opens up a lot of opportunities for smaller movies.
Yeah, John.
So yeah, it's like, sorry.
No, go ahead. I mean, John Doherty, you agree. I mean, that's a whole new world out there of streaming.
Yeah, I mean, it completely opened up the playing field, like John said. It's, you know, it changed the game, and it will continue to change the game. And companies like Netflix and Apple are investing big money. You know, you look at Netflix, I think it was the end of 2020, they announced that they're investing $1 billion into the Albuquerque, New Mexico area. $1 billion, you know, that's a really big amount of money, and that's great for the industry. And, you know, there are distributors here based here in Ohio, Gravitas and another distributor called Good Deed, and they're really right in the middle of all this. And matter of fact, John and I are going to do a distribution webinar coming up in a couple of weeks to talk about that. And yeah, streaming is it's a whole new world these days. John can talk a little bit more about the distribution process and how it works better than I can. But yeah, it's great. And, you know, there's the appetite for content right now is just unbelievable. And we all know that, you know, with all the streaming services.
Right. Yeah. Jonathan?
The issue with streaming is really that you just have to find a way to get noticed out there, because there's so much content right now, and you're competing with television shows, and there are so many different niche channels, niche markets. So a filmmaker really needs to be their own marketing company as well. And you're going to do a lot of that on social media. It's not something that I necessarily, it's not my generation, you know, that was necessarily good at social media. And I've had to learn really on the fly. So like, it will help us to have, you know, we're going to be in 12 cities on Friday for a week. That will help at least raise the visibility of the movie, but you've got to get people to find you because, you know, it's sometimes it's really difficult to go deeper than the front page of Netflix and Hulu. And there's a lot of great movies out there waiting to be discovered. So you just have to figure out a way to get found. So we're trying it now. I mean, it's just like, we, you know, our marketing is so, we're just trying to be so creative about how we get the word out to people so they find us.
You know, as far as having it set in Columbus, why was that important to you, Jonathan?
I mean, Columbus is my home, and I started off being on the board of the Drexel Theater. And I worked with the late Bill Connor at Kappa to try to start this Columbus Pictures Film Fund. And now Chad Whittington at Kappa has picked up the torch. And it's, as a film professor, in terms of trying to find jobs and opportunities for my students, so that they don't have to move to New York or Los Angeles necessarily, it is really tough to have to move to a coast and find yourself in the business. And, you know, part of what I've been trying to do is just help build opportunities here and help the city grow, you know. So as a creative, I love shooting here because there's so many different looks we can give. Like, you know, if you want suburban, you can have urban, many different things. I think people will be surprised by how much of Columbus is seen on screen. But, you know, it's really also sort of a philosophical idea, like how to get the industry here growing so that all these students coming out of these film programs can find a place.
Just from a practical point of view, I'm curious as to how, and I want to talk about filming during the pandemic a little later, but as far as what the pandemic forced us to do, as far as communicating with each other long distance, you know, the Zoom call is an everyday thing now. Has it changed the paradigm for getting in, you know, getting your foot in the door in California, you know, in Hollywood?
That's a good question. I mean, it depends on what you want to do. What's been good for our students, obviously Zoom learning has not been terrific, but we've been able to have all these industry webinars because people are at home and they're available. So it is easier to reach out and make contact with people. But there's nothing, the film business is so much like, you know, we teach students how to be good in a room, which just means like, how do you pitch your stories and how do you interact with people? So much of that is based on being face-to-face.
Okay.
And you have to be good at being face-to-face. And I think it's tough to convince people to fund your movie on a Zoom. You know, I think it's just another barrier that gets in the way of people. You know, you're going to get so many no's as it is. And sometimes when you're just like a few feet from someone, you can do it. You can be a little bit more persuasive than being on a Zoom.
Well, and also just, I mean, this is sort of a layperson's observation, but, you know, if you go back, there used to be the big studios and they were self, you know, they were unto themselves. Now you watch any given movie and there's all kinds of production, all kinds of, or you know, companies producing it and paying for it, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the film business is everywhere. It's, you know, there's still, you know, a lot of the intellectual content at least comes out of California. Like if you want to be a television writer, most of the writers' rooms are in LA, and I would say that you need to be there. But I imagine most of these writers' rooms right now are working over Zoom. And that's hard too, you know, that's another thing, like writing a television show together over Zoom is also an issue. So I don't know. I mean, we're just all excited to get out of this pandemic like everybody else.
Right. You teach courses in filmmaking. What is attracting Ohio students to filmmaking at this point? Do they want to get out of here or do they really want to stay and make a living here?
Well, you know, Kenyon's is an interesting school because most of our students don't come from Ohio anymore. So we get like a lot of film industry kids from LA. You know, I'm up here at Kenyon right now, and we have our own film building, the Wright Center, which has a film studio in it, a post-production facility. So, you know, I'm seeing only a thin sliver of students that are coming here, but more and more, they do want to stay here or at least start out here. You know, they know that the cost of living is lower. There is work here. You know, they know about the tax credit. You know, it's just about educating them and making them understand they can do it anywhere. You know, there's so many different places to make movies. You know, what you need more is a cohort of friends and collaborators, I think, more than the place itself.
Hmm. Yeah, and I get calls a lot, people wanting to come back. There, you'd be surprised, people who are not in the industry, you'd probably be more shocked than surprised at the number of people that have some sort of roots in Ohio that are in the business. And, you know, sometimes they want to come back, and kids who have graduated from Kenyon and moved to the coast, they want to raise a family, start a family. A lot of them don't want to raise a family in LA. They want to come back here to their hometown because of their family. So we have to continue to keep those opportunities rolling and welcome some of those expats back. There's some incentives in Savannah, Georgia, where they have expat incentives, where they help cover moving costs if they want to come back to Savannah. So there's all kinds of different ways to attract people. But yeah, people do. They want to come back if they do move away. It's very common.
Yeah, Jonathan?
Yeah, no, I think it's also really important for Columbus to have a vibrant cultural scene, you know, especially as we talk about, like, you know, we also talk all the time about bringing jobs here, but like, you know, when you get this news about Intel coming here, it's like Columbus, like we need to be, you know, we need to be strong in the arts. It's really important to convince people to move here. You know, it's about becoming like a city that has a lot going on. So I think it's just, you know, it's part of the natural growth and evolution of this place is having filmmakers and artists living here and working here and being able to stay here.
And be able to, and also feel comfortable saying this is where it's shot and this is what it's about too.
Totally.
It's about Columbus. Totally. We're going to continue our conversation. That is Jonathan Sherman. He's co-writer and director of a new feature film, They, Them, Us, which we'll have a link so you can see where it's being released this coming weekend in Columbus. He is an associate professor of film at Kenyon College and president of the Board of Film Columbus. Also with us, John Doherty. He's film commissioner for Columbus in Central Ohio. He's also director of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Triple dare you. And finally, the coup de grace of all dares, the sinister triple dog dare.
I triple dog dare you.
That was a scene from the 1983 movie A Christmas Story, filmed in part in Cleveland. Welcome back to All Sides. I'm your host, Ann Fisher. We're talking about the Ohio film industry, some of the advantages Hollywood has when it comes to filmmaking, our sound stages and professional crews. Where the rest of the country falls short on that score, they use old warehouses or former big box stores in Ohio. But do they need to up their game? We're talking right now with... Kenyon College film professor John Sherman and director of the film They, Them, Us. It's coming out this weekend. We'll have a link so on our website at WOSU.org/allsides so you can find out where it is showing. And also with us, John Doherty. He's film commissioner for Columbus and Central Ohio. He's also director of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. You know, John Doherty, I was wondering, this is a great way to ask this question after something like a clip from A Christmas Story, because, I mean, people do kind of there's like a tourism mecca now around that little house in Cleveland where that was the setting for that movie. It's kind of bizarre in a way because the neighborhood hasn't really grown up around it in any kind of great shakes. But what do we know about that kind of residual tourism effect of shooting a movie anywhere?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I'm really glad you brought it up. Tourism and film tourism has become also a very big business. Again, referring to the Shawshank Redemption clip you played earlier, you'd be shocked at the number of people that take the Shawshank Trail who stop at all the locations around Mansfield where it's been shot. You mentioned the Christmas Story, you know, that too. So, and then we look at larger projects like Game of Thrones and the tourism industry around that. It is big, big business, and it's just another economic impact a segment in this industry that needs to be looked at, and it's very valuable.
Makes things a little bit more tangible. People become more involved emotionally, Jonathan Sherman, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, hopefully, you know, we tried to feature a lot of sort of the quirkier things in Columbus, too, in the film, like the corn sculpture fields up, where is it, in Dublin, I guess?
Yeah.
People are like, oh, it's when we had our premiere screening at the Lincoln Theater, we shot it outside Buckeye Donuts on the south side, and literally the crowd applauded. They burst into applause when Buckeye Donuts came on screen. So yeah, that'll be a tourist site now.
Let's see. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the film industry in Ohio. If you have a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And Sherry in New Orleans, you're on the air. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, hi.
Hi. You're from Ohio?
I grew up in Delaware, Ohio.
Okay.
I am an independent film producer with my husband, Dan Moore, who is also a Buckeye. I was just in Delaware last this summer for a reunion, and I was seized by this desire to help them build a location lookbook for location managers and to work with the Historical Society, because Delaware is an absolute gem of a city for period movies and lots of things. So could I apply for a grant to work to help this to happen?
Is there funding for stuff like that, John Doherty?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking about Delaware, you'd obviously have to reach out to them directly. You know, I'm part of Greater Columbus Arts Council, and, you know, we have grants. I don't know if there's a grant for something like that, but, you know, I would encourage you definitely to reach out to Delaware. Like we said earlier, you know, we're all about growing the industry statewide. So anything we can do to help facilitate that, I'm interested in talking about. So, who knows? There could be.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing, like, how many little, like, micro communities we have here. Like, if you look at Granville, like, where Denison is, like, that's, you could film an East Coast, you know, movie there. So it really, I mean, I think the point is there's really something for everyone here, you know, except beaches, obviously. But, you know.
But yeah, we're a little landlocked. You know, what Sherry made me think of is all the little bits and pieces of this industry. We kind of, from outside of it, probably think of it in much larger swaths of activity, but there's lots of bits and pieces, and they have the economies of scale in LA. You know, there's enough work to sustain people in between. I'm wondering what your sense is, Jonathan Sherman, about where that kind of critical mass could be in Ohio, or if we even want to go there.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. You know, feature films are great. We obviously want some television shows to come here too, but I think it also is about building more television commercial base here, and even music videos. There has to be many different kinds of work here to really sustain, you know, that, especially if, you know, we only have the $40 million in the pot for the tax credit. So there's got to be lots of different kinds of filmmaking here in order to sustain it.
And so, John Doherty, when you're talking about building it up, you're talking about building it in multiple directions, not just in the feature film direction.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. John mentioned a television series. As a matter of fact, when you apply for the motion picture tax credit, if you apply as a series or a mini series, you jump to the front of the queue. And I think that's a great idea, because that's just long, sustainable work. And that continues, you know, you look at any series, a season could be 8-9 months long. So that's great work to have. And, you know, I mentioned gaming earlier. Gaming and animation, you know, are all part of a bigger tech scenario, in those lines between animation and tech and gaming and film. You know, those are all being blurred constantly. So it's and Netflix is starting to get into the gaming world now. And gaming is bigger than film at this point. So we're looking at all those different things. And I think there's a lot of potential there.
Jonathan Sherman, let's talk a little bit about the age of COVID and what it meant to the industry. Everyone's waiting with bated breath for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel to finally come on after 2 years, you know, the new season. There was some really very dramatic impacts on the industry because of it. And you filmed right smack in the middle of it.
Yeah, which was terrifying. The Screen Actors Guild. So we have, you know, we were a Screen Actors Guild film. So we had to get, they had to sign off to let us shoot. And we needed to do just a ton of paperwork to make them believe that we were going to be safe. But the hardest thing at the time, this was in August of 2020, was just they wanted test results back in 48 hours, PCR tests. And at that point, we were averaging like 5 to 7 days to get test results back. So we hired a local testing guru named Victoria Harris, and she helped us organize, find a lab that could get the test results in time. We didn't have the budget to pay for the COVID testing. So that was an extra about $75,000 that went straight to my credit cards. So luckily we did get most of that money back when we got the tax credit back. But, you know, we had the money and we just had to go, because these movies, like when you have momentum, you have to strike. You can't wait. So, but if we had had one positive test during filming and we had to shut down, I don't know if we would have been able to start back up again. I mean, we were right at the beginning and experimenting. We were just really lucky. The crew was really, we kept it really safe and small. We didn't really have any extras until the last couple scenes of the movie, because the extras would have to go into the testing protocol and it's expensive. Unfortunately, we had to limit the number of interns we could use. I had this sort of grand vision of using, you know, film students from every program in Central Ohio, and it was too expensive just to be able to test everybody.
You know, and I read that you had to socially distance as well. How did that work on the set? That wasn't on the set. That was everything outside of the set, right?
Yeah. I mean, we filmed in my house on Neal Avenue, and the first day we practiced these protocols, and then we were all trapped. There were like, I don't know, 50 of us in this house together, and maybe more at times. And I went downstairs at one point, and like 25 people were gathered around the monitor right on top of each other. And I was like, 6 feet apart, guys. And everyone tried to distance, but it was almost impossible. Testing was really the important thing, and just making sure that we were all safe. Because once you start filming and you're inside, it's tougher.
And you made it through.
Yeah, it was amazing. I don't know how we did it, but no positives. I mean, it was really about the cast and crew not going out on the weekends and everyone sort of buying into this idea that, you know, we were one of the first and could we make it work? And they knew that, you know, if I had or anyone in the cast had gotten positive, we were done for. So it was terrifying.
You know, Sun Valley has many allures, but the road and the infrastructure is not among them. Still, it has become you know, this huge film festival that, you know, everybody knows about, and everybody thinks about. What about film festivals and making that a thing a la Ohio / Central Ohio? Jonathan Sherman?
Yeah, you meant Sundance, right?
Sundance, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah. I mean, again, you build it and they'll come, right? I mean, so John and Kappa are starting a film festival for Columbus to unify we have a lot of different film festivals here. So Cinema Columbus is a new venture that Kappa is starting as well to have a new film festival here, but there'll still be many other smaller ones too. I mean, there is a vibrant film community here. It's just that people don't necessarily know about it, and it's in a lot of different pockets. So it's really about press and the attention and marketing too. I think it's really important just getting the word out that we're a thing.
Yeah, John Doherty?
Yeah, thanks, John, for mentioning Cinema Columbus. Yeah, it's really important, you mentioned Sundance, and, you know, 2 weeks before Sundance was supposed to start, they came and said that they were canceling all in-person events. And, you know, I've been working on some events at Sundance for the past couple of years, and we had to pivot to all online within 2 weeks, which was tough to do, again, talking about COVID. And, but festivals are very important. And like John said, it just raises that profile of what we're doing. It continues to put us on the map and in the discussions amongst all the players in the industry.
You know, if you watch TV, you know that iPhone advertises how people can shoot movies on their phones and that kind of a thing. Is the technology changing the business, Jonathan Sherman? It sounds like you did a traditional shoot, but what about the competition or the idea of that?
I mean, yeah, technology is not a barrier to entry anymore. You know, it's all about, I mean, this is what we talk about at Kenyon all the time. It's like, we're neutral about what you shoot your movie on. You know, it's all about the script and the story and the acting. So it's great for our students. I mean, it's like they can practice and make mistakes, you know, for almost no money. But it really it makes them focus on writing good stories and learning how to work with actors, which are really the fundamentals rather than just making beautiful pictures. You know, I mean, you can do it. It's great to make beautiful pictures, but you got to get people, your audience, to be involved in your story.
Yeah, John Doherty, as far as that goes.
Yeah, John mentioned, I was going to say the exact same thing. The barrier to entry just isn't there anymore. And making mistakes is very cheap. I mean, can you imagine years ago, you had to shoot on film and get the film process. And if it was a mistake, it was like, oh crap, what do I do now? So, I forget the name of the movie a few years ago, which was one of the first feature movies that gained distribution, was shot on an iPhone. And Tangerine. That was a few years ago. What was it, John?
Tangerine.
Yes, Tangerine. And they just keep getting better every year, you know, new and better phones come out. So it's pretty extraordinary what can be done now. And just like John said, I completely agree. It's about the story. You have to have a good story. You have to have good actors. If you don't have that, you can't look past the quality of the movie.
Yeah. And one thing that's also really important that we were able to showcase in our film is there are great actors here in the Midwest. We cast our two leads out of New York, but we had a casting director in Cincinnati named Lynn Myers, who just found a phenomenal cast for us. And they, you know, we had some actors from Columbus, Cincinnati, Indianapolis, Cleveland. I mean, there is a great acting base here too that is dying to work. So it's another reason why it's great to make movies here. And, you know, we were Screen Actors Guild, so we paid them as such, but not most of these actors are not in SAG. So you can, you know, hire them relatively inexpensively too.
Before Ohio hits the big time.
Yeah, right.
Jonathan Sherman, co-writer, and director of the feature film They, Them, Us, associate professor of film at Kenyon College and president of the Board of Film Columbus. Thanks so much for your time and best wishes for every success on this venture.
Thank you, Anne.
And John Doherty, film commissioner for Columbus and Central Ohio, director of the Greater Columbus Film Commission. John, thanks for your time today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ann. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks, everybody else, for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.